Please stay tuned, and at the end of the program, we'll let you know where to send your questions for Dave and Tom to respond to in a future Contending for the Faith. You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now, our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures. And we continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation. Here again are Dave and Tom.
We're continuing with the Gospel. We're in the Gospel of John, and we're beginning with chapter 15 and verse 1.
Tom, I'm amazed that we have gotten this far.
It's only been a couple of years, Dave.
Well, praise God. I mean, and we have not even scratched the surface of what the Bible has to say.
Dave, I look upon reading the Scriptures, it's a meal each day. Mm-hmm. You come to the Scriptures, you're going to get, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Amen.
And if you're not partaking of the Scriptures, then spiritually you're going to be undernourished.
That's right.
So it's our encouragement. So, yeah, we've been having this meal for a long time, but I think it's been wonderful. And this particular section of the Gospel of John is just the best.
This chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, Christ is speaking to his own disciples. Mm-hmm. Judas has left. He's still in the upper room. So this is a very intimate discourse, and you do not find it in any of the other Gospels.
Beginning with verse 1, chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, there's a term that maybe some of our listeners haven't heard, unless they're familiar with the Scripture. But this is just someone who takes care of the garden.
Husbandman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom, I don't want to belabor it, but we could briefly consider the Catholic interpretation of John chapter 6, where Jesus says, I am the bread of God that came down from heaven. You know, if you eat of this bread, you will never die, and the bread that I will give is my flesh. And you will drink my blood, except to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And that is the one place where the Roman Catholic Church takes what Jesus is saying in a parable, really, literally. Now, you couldn't take that literally here. I'm the true vine. Is Jesus a grapevine? Is his father really a farmer who's out there hoeing the weeds and so forth? Or when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, I am the door, is he a door swinging on its hinges? I am the good shepherd, you are my sheep, are we sheep, literally? So I just wanted to remind our listeners of that Jesus, when he says to the woman at the well, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again, but you drink of the water I give you, you will never thirst. He is not talking about physical water, H2O. Here he is not saying that he is literally a grapevine, obviously. And in John 6, he's not saying literally, I want you to eat my literal physical body and drink my literal physical blood, which was forbidden, by the way, to a Jew. But that is the way that it has been interpreted, sadly.
Dave, this is an important point. The name of the program is Search the Scriptures Daily. We try to encourage reading God's Word. And in reading God's Word, there are certain things that you have to do. You have to be able to discern when you're looking at a verse, whether it's to be taken literally or to be taken figuratively. You make those mistakes, just as you said, Dave, and you have a doctrine or teaching that is completely erroneous.
I think it's pretty clear. It certainly is clear here.
Oh, yes.
I'm the true vine. Well, what does he mean? Well, the grapes cannot exist without the vine. They don't have their own life. Mm-hmm. The life that is in the grapes, that is in the fruit, comes from the vine. It doesn't even come from the branches. And he's going to go on and talk about, well, next verse, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, you used to live in Southern California, so did I. I can remember where the Ontario Airport is now. Well, Tom, that was before your time in California. But that was the largest vineyard in the world, believe it or not. And that became an airport. And they still have grapevines all around that airport. And one thing that you noticed in the fall, they pruned. Pruned? Wow. Back to the nub, you could say. There was nothing there but the vine. No branches. And yet, out of that, looked like a stump, you know, of a vine, sprang these branches every spring. And that was where the grapes hung. So Jesus is saying, the life you have comes from me. If you're going to bear fruit, that fruit would mean, well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience, and meekness, and so forth, temperance. If you are going to bear fruit, and that would also include winning others to Christ, which we want to do, then it must be my life lived through you. As we've probably said several times, and others have said it as well, the Christian life isn't difficult, it's impossible. No one but Jesus ever lived it or ever could live it. And if I am to live the Christian life, I must allow Christ to live it through me. And we just passed the last chapter where he says, because I live, you will live also. And Paul writes, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, so shall you also appear with him in glory. So this is what he's saying. I'm the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. He's watching over this sort of thing. And every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. In other words, I don't think that that means you were once a branch, you were once a Christian, and then you are lost. But I think it means that if you're not bearing fruit, Paul tells us, those who sin, he takes away in death. So I think the picture is pretty clear of the grapevine and the branches and the fruit. And amazingly, you have to cut that branch back to get more fruit.
Mm-hmm. So in our own lives, this is the purging that's being referred to. There are things in our lives that the Lord is going to take away. But at the same time, he has to encourage us for a disciplined life, a life that labor of love, not for salvation. We've said many times, the Scripture does not teach that. He did it all. Mm-hmm. We put our trust in him. But then after that, we have a life that is to be fruitful and productive.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3, he says, now you are clean, that is purged, you've been cleansed, through the word which I have spoken unto you. And he said that also to his disciples in John 13, two chapters ago, when he took out the water and the towel and began to wash their feet and so forth. It's the word that cleanses.
And, Dave, the way that works is that I'm reading the word. I recognize his teachings. It's what he says to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. That is the things that he would have me do to be fruitful and productive. Mm-hmm. I respond to that. In areas of my life, I come under conviction. Mm-hmm. Those things are purged. I turn from them. I repent of those things, confess them before the Lord, and go on. So this is how the word cleanses. Mm-hmm. I read it, I understand it, and I do it. I'm not just a hearer of the word, but a doer as well.
So I'm not supposed to tell the Bible or tell God what he should think. But the Bible tells me what I should think and what I should do. And one of the tragedies, Tom, you know, we just had a new Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire voted in, V. Gene Robinson. And I was shocked in our little town, Bend Bulletin, right on the front page, it gave a quote from him. When he was installed as bishop, he's the first openly gay, homosexual bishop in the Anglican Communion worldwide. A lot of people didn't like it.
Left his wife and children?
Yes, for a man, lover, male lover, and the fact that, oh, well, but they've been faithful together in this ungodly, unnatural relationship. Oh, but that qualified him to be a bishop, you see. But that's not the qualifications for a bishop that you get in the Bible. But anyway, we had the quote from this man. And here's the new bishop of New Hampshire, having been installed, and in spite, you know, in denial of what the scripture teaches. And he said, well, just because the Bible condemns something doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. So God can't set the standards? He doesn't make the rules? We can just shuffle this around and make it turn out to say what we want it to say by some sleight of hand interpretation? Well, Jesus said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken. And if you're going to be clean, you're going to have to pay attention to the word and let the word cleanse you. Mm-hmm. You don't change the word to make it mean what you want it to mean.
Dave and Tom will resume their discussion on the topic of salvation again next week. We hope you can join us. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. The Apostle John in Revelation 17 describes in detail characteristics of a beast which comes in the last days. Virtually all attention these days is focused on the coming Antichrist, but he is only half the story. Many are amazed to discover that that same passage reveals another mysterious character at the heart of prophecy, a woman who rides the beast. Who is this woman? John depicts her as a false church, which will be a partner of the Antichrist. Tradition says she is connected with the Church of Rome. But isn't such a view outdated? After all, today's Vatican is eager to join hands with Protestants worldwide. We are told the Catholic Church has changed, or has it? In A Woman Rides the Beast, prophecy expert Dave Hunt sifts through biblical truth and global events to present a well-defined portrait of this woman and her powerful place in the Antichrist future empire. 8 remarkable clues in Revelation prove the woman's identity beyond any reasonable doubt. Was John describing the Church of Rome? To answer this question, Dave has spent years in historical research, primarily from Catholic sources, and provides indisputable documentation. Video host, author, and lecturer Dave Hunt.
There's over 500 pages and about 800 footnotes, I think, of documentation that will surprise perhaps even Catholics, as well as non-Catholics, as to the official teaching and practices of the Roman Catholic Church, its history, what it really has stood for and stands for today. I'm not making it up. I think it is worthwhile. I think it is something you need to read.
A Woman Rides the Beast. The book and the video are available from the Berean Call. Information on how to order in just a moment. If you are a serious student of God's Word, we offer many items that you'll find helpful. From books and tracts to audio and videotapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and much more. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 3803. And be sure to mention the call letters of this station. Next week, we continue with our series of discussions based on Dave Hunt's book, A Cup of Trembling, and If the Jews Are God's Chosen People, Are They Better Than the Rest of Us? In Religion in the News, did Muhammad order Muslims to kill Jews? We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, do we have to pass a theological test to get into heaven? We hope you can tune in. If you have questions or comments about this program, we urge you to contact our offices. Search the Scriptures Daily Radio Ministry is made possible by God's grace, your prayers, and your financial support. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for joining us and invite you to tune in again next week. In the meantime, If you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. Join us again next week for Search the Scriptures Daily, featuring Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.